Hello, Sapphics. Welcome back to Sapphic Stories, a podcast created by Dipsy. We are now in season 3 of this little spicy queer podcast, and while I am sad to leave office hours behind, I am here once again, and as always, to remind you that if you love that story, you could always just download the Dipsy app to listen to way more of it and hundreds of other spicy Sapphic audiobooks. You can use the promo code Sapphic or go to dipsystories.com/sapphic for 30 days free so you can sample your little heart out of the library. Now that we got that all out of the way, promo codes plugged, let's talk about season 3. So in this season, we're going to be sharing chapters of what I actually and really mean this is my favorite Dipsy story ever. It's called Goddess of the Hunt, and it's an adaptation of a Greek myth that we've reimagined to be way more queer and way, way more spicy. I don't know the science behind this, but I just think if you're queer, there's like a 99% chance that as a kid, you were obsessed with Greek mythology. I'm not sure why. I don't make the rules. That's just the way it is. So maybe if you're listening to this, you're already familiar with the original myth. But if you're not, in the original myth, Artemis is the goddess of the hunt, of wilderness, of wild animals. And she has these female followers that live with her in her glade, and one of which is a beautiful nymph named Callisto. Unfortunately, and as it usually goes in Greek mythology, Zeus develops a crush on Callisto, but in a strange and very queer-coded twist, if I may say so myself, he turns himself into Artemis to lure Callisto in. Artemis, hearing of this, feels betrayed and turns her friend and follower into a bear. It's just a really great story. There's passion, there's love, friendship, and betrayal. But, you know, reading it, I always felt a little sad. It felt like there was this really obvious subtext of a relationship between Artemis and Callisto. And instead of it culminating with a confession of their love, it ends in tragedy. And so as a creative team, we were like, what if we really leaned into the queer undertones of this Greek myth? And thus, Goddess of the Hunt was born. This story feels extra special to me. And I think it's because there's just so many queer stories that end in tragedy. And then there are all these queer stories that feel like they're queer romances, but it's more of like a subtle undertone versus the actual story happening between characters. And in this one, they just get to be gay, which is great. It also has this really amazingly immersive and beautiful sound design, and both Artemis and Callisto are voiced by amazing narrators. It also has this really great enemies to friends to lovers arc that I really, really love. I'm so excited for you to listen, and I really hope you enjoy it as much as I do, which is a lot. And, you know, let us know what you think either way. Love it, hate it, leave a rating and a review. We really care about what our listeners think and love to take their feedback into consideration when crafting our stories. But for now, here is episode 1 of Goddess of the Hunt, Sacred Ground.
There are many ways to honor a goddess. Sacrifices and feasts, poems and songs and pottery. These are nice, lovely to look at, easy to bless. But I admit that nothing pleases me more than when a woman offers herself to me. Her strength, her cunning, her utter devotion. I ask that she forgoes the distractions of love and lust, taking a vow of chastity. In exchange, I'll teach her everything I've come to know as Goddess of the Hunt.
Place your hand like this.
The women who come to live with me are the most fearsome in all of Mount Olympus, which is why when Callisto first stepped foot in my glade, I thought she must be lost. She had a sleek and willowy build, most certainly a water nymph, and her eyes were like the sea itself. Green that shifted in the sunlight and sparkled under the moon. What business did such a gorgeous, delicate creature have with the hunt? But when she knocked her arrow and let it fly, even I was not too proud to admit that I'd misjudged her. Hunters come in many forms, I suppose.
And that makes 100 perfect shots.
100 hits? But they were far from perfect.
What?
The rest of you are free to go. Rest, eat, We'll meet back on the training field at dawn.
My lady, I...
Do you know the story of Adonis, Callista?
Yes.
He claimed to be the best hunter in the world, but he was wrong. Worse than that, he offended me by saying it.
I said I knew it.
So I turned him into a wild boar. You may be the finest huntress I have ever met, but you are plagued by knowing it. Pride is not something I tolerate in my women. Before joining my band of huntresses, Callisto had been the daughter of a mortal king. She'd renounced her title and lineage when she came to my glade. It did not erase the fact that she'd been raised as a princess who bowed to no one.
I apologize.
You are not above reproach, but you're not so far beneath me that you don't deserve forgiveness. You do well to learn that not every blow is meant to draw blood.
Yes, goddess. I'm sorry. What is it?
The hounds. They sent something. Someone.
A man?
I fear it may be.
Shall we call the others?
We? No. I will go alone.
But you always say we move as one.
On the hunt, yes. But this is different.
This is real. Not just some training ground.
Leave me, Callisto.
Goddess, please, I want...
This is not the time for your stubbornness.
Please, let me prove myself to you.
It's your life to lose.
I don't intend on losing it.
Do you have your knife?
Yes.
Fill 3 quivers. Quickly. We must be swift but silent. Fleet-footed, we ran through the glade, pulling arrows from the trees, packing them as tight as possible into our quivers, with a bow slung across our backs and another held tightly in our hands, we crept into the forest. Every few paces, we paused, and I would listen for the hound's direction. The man drew close to the edge of the glade, and as miles passed, I became more and more sure that he was not merely lost. He was staking out my sacred grounds. He hovered at the edge, moving west toward the falling sun.
I'm sorry, goddess.
There's no need to apologize. I forgot your naiad eyes are not well trained for darkness.
You go on.
No, we'll stay together. Put your hand on my waist and follow me. I know where we can rest. With her hand pressed tightly to my waist, I moved as slowly as I possibly could. Throughout the far reaches of the glade, there were small marble shrines built in my honour, some of a proper size and shape to keep us safe in the night and through the rain. Oh,
we're only a few paces away. Cozy.
Yes. I don't suspect the people who built it thought there would be anyone more than me in here. Get started on a fire. I need to bless the area so we can sleep safely. I started at the door of the shrine, laying moonstones at each corner and whispering incantations to protect it from the eyes and ears of men. They glowed under my touch and flickered in the breeze like embers. By the time I circled back around, Callisto had built a strong, warm fire.
Those stones are beautiful.
Even better, they're useful.
Can't they be both?
Of course, but what makes them precious to me is not their beauty. What?
Nothing.
I enjoy being amused too.
Do you? It is very hard to tell.
Is it?
With all due respect, goddess, you are not known for your mirth.
What am I known for?
Strength, grace, power.
I didn't ask to be flattered.
You are serious, without pause. Practical, austere. It is difficult to know you.
Ah, yes. This is all true. What have your dealings with the gods been?
Few.
And yet you know them, yes? People fear them and resent them. They only go to them when they're desperate or afraid. I'm not interested in a godship like that. I want something real. Something close.
Yet you keep your women at arm's length.
If that is how I am perceived, it is not my intention.
Do you find it tiring?
The gods do not tire easily. And yet I do think we should sleep. We'll need our strength for tracking come dawn. There's only the single bed. Take it, Callisto. You need the rest more than I.
Artemis.
I am...
a goddess. You are not meant to sleep on the ground. Come.
Are you sure?
Yes. We'll both fit better if we're...
back to back, yes.
Yes.
I am glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here. I know I can be trying.
It is good to know oneself. I treat you differently than the others.
It is good to know oneself.
I have never known someone like you. You are strong and fast, quick with your tongue, free with your heart. You never meet a challenge you cannot best, but a fire like yours will turn violent unless it is contained. That is why I must be so hard on you, though it is difficult.
Difficult?
It is mesmerizing, watching you burn.
Are you afraid?
Of what?
Burning.
No. I leaned over her slender body, one hand lifting her head to mine, the other finding the crest of her hip. I pulled both close to me, crushing her lips against mine, slipping my leg between her. She sighed and rolled against me.
Is this against the rules of the vow?
Yes.
But if...
no one will know but us. Kiss me.
Can I?
Yes. Anything. Her hands crept under my tunic, tracing the shape of my thighs. Light as butterflies lighting on me. Her breath fluttered in my ear as her fingers moved higher over the curves and planes of my body.
Do you know how often I've thought of this?
Tell me.
Every time you touch me, every time I feel your eyes on me.
You must feel it all the time.
Yes.
I moved my body over hers, pressing my knee gently between her legs. Flashes of lightning illuminated her beneath me, her eyes locked on mine. My fingers moved to the belt of her tunic, untying the knot. Her hands mirrored mine, and in the darkness we undressed each other, the sound of linen drawing over skin and falling to the floor, like sweet music. Another bolt of lightning forked through the sky, and for a moment, every detail of her perfect body glowed like the moon. I fell upon her, my lips finding her breasts, her back arching to push them against my tongue. Oh, Callisto.
Yes.
I want to feel you.
Who am I to deny a goddess?
Her lips were warm and soft. As soon as my fingers brushed against her, her whole body arched and pushed against them. Her legs fell open for me as I traced the shape of her, finding the center of her with ease.
Oh, fuck.
Shall I stop?
No. No. Please, goddess.
As you wish.
Artemis. I'm... I want to feel you.
I straddled her thigh and ground myself against her, nearly crying out from the pleasure of her skin against my slick, warm lips. She twined her fingers through my hair and held fast to me, our lips barely separated from each other, our breath coming fast and hard, passing between us in sweet, perfect rhythm.
Gods, Callista.
Yes. Softer. Softer. I want to...
I'm so...
I don't think I can...
Not yet. Not yet. I took my fingers away, and again she groaned in agony. She reached for my hand, trying to draw it close to her again, but I caught her wrist and joined it with the other, pinning her hands above her head.
Must you always be trying to teach me a lesson?
Must you always put up a fight? Spread your legs wide. I pushed my fingers inside of her, electricity bolting through my body as her back arched beneath me and her crooked smile broke into a gasp of pleasure.
My hips. Always the teacher.
Always right, is what you mean. Perhaps you have some things to teach me, too.